Welcome back. Last time, you may remember, I was hoping that the animal holocaust was, if you'll pardon the expression, was just about over. The slaughter of the innocents to pay for the sins of the guilty. But turns out that's not going to be the case, looking ahead. And it had actually been going on for a very long time, even before the time of the Levitical priests, which is, you know, what we're looking at currently. Our show art, for instance, depicts Noah and his family engaging in a serial sacrifice of a sheep, a billy goat, and a bull in thanks for being allowed to survive the flood and coming to rest on terra firma, more or less firma. I guess it was pretty muddy for a while, but anyway, you can see that one of Noah's sons has the sheep down, getting ready to kill it, and it looks like one of the women is handing him something. I guess it's the knife to slit its throat with. And then another son has hold of the billy goat by one of its horns. Pretty sure it's a billy goat. Looks like it's got a little goatee. You know, he's hanging on to it so it can't get away. And the other son, there were three of them, you know, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. I decided it was probably pronounced Yafet. The other son is leading the bull to slaughter, carrying what looks like either an axe or a sledgehammer. I guess he intends to use that, whichever one it is, on the bull. Now, I've heard that a sledgehammer is what they used to use at the slaughterhouse till they came up with the bright idea of shooting a bolt through the cow's head, through the skull, and into its brain. Now, I don't know what Noah is planning on doing with that bull once it's dead, because that little altar he's built isn't going to be anywhere near big enough to barbecue all that on. It's not like the Anunnaki-sized grill that is being used during Levitical times, which, you know, is what we're reading about right now. I guess we ought to get started on that. We'll start slogging through the pools of blood, starting at the beginning of the fifth chapter of Leviticus. And if a soul sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. In other words, if you fail to come forward as a witness to a crime, or if you're called as a witness and you fail to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you're guilty of that crime yourself as an accessory after the fact. You bear the iniquity of the criminal. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Now, there are several conditions that can cause a person to be considered unclean, and I guess we'll go over those in a future episode, but for now, I'll just mention the uncleanness of leprosy. Now, obviously, there's a health concern if you've been touching somebody who might be infectious, just as there might be a health concern if you've been handling dead animals, like in the previous verse. If you've been in contact with unclean things, you should consider yourself unclean and warn others away from you. That's why in those old movies and things, you'll see the lepers walking around saying, unclean, unclean, you know, maybe ringing a bell or something. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Now that seems to be a totally different category from the other two, but it gets included here in the same list, I guess because it's considered to be about the same level of infraction. You know, like we have Class D misdemeanors or something like that. And now it lists what the penalty is for these misdemeanors. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So there's a distinction between a sin offering and a burnt offering. And that distinction seems to be that the priest is allowed to eat part of the sin offering, but not part of the burnt offering. I'm guessing this was part of the way that the priests were compensated for serving as priests, kind of like when I was growing up, the preacher would get to come eat fried chicken with one of the families after church on Sunday. but back then they got to eat part of the pigeon or the turtle dove. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering, or a meal offering, as we went over last time, or a grain offering, or whatever. Again, this must have been part of the priest's compensation. Notice he would only burn a handful of the flour and kept the rest for himself. Now, also notice that they didn't put any oil in the flour so that it would, you know, remain dry and usable for a while. And they didn't put any spices in it either, so it would be more flexible for use in different recipes, you know. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. So now we're getting serious about the priest's compensation. It's silver money now, not just food. And they're adding 20% interest. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And now we're up to chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth, in the day of his trespass offering. So, if you take something that doesn't belong to you, regardless of how you do it, you have to repay the principal plus that 20% interest that they mentioned before. Now, that 20% interest is not annual interest. It's just a one-time fee. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now that's the verse that supposedly inspired our theme song, you know, our new theme song, O Thou Who Camest From Above. It inspired, I guess, the whole thing, but especially the lines that talk about kindling a flame on the altar of the heart and letting it burn with an inextinguishable blaze. You know, eternal flame. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it, unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation they shall eat it. It shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering, and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Every one that toucheth them shall be holy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is the offering of Aaron and of his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed. The tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering perpetual, half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan it shall be made with oil, And when it is bacon, thou shalt bring it in, and the bacon pieces of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, when it says, when it is bacon, or baked, thou shalt bring it in, where are they talking about bringing it into? Well, assuming they baked the bread in a pan on the grill, on the altar of burnt offering, if they brought it in from there, they'd be bringing it into the holy place where Yahweh resided. You know, they thought Yahweh really lived there in the tabernacle. And the reason they would bring it in is because apparently the Yahwehlians loved the smell of fresh baked biscuits in the morning, I guess, and at night too, because they did it twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. And I guess, this is kind of unusual because usually the Yahwehlians preferred the smell of meat on the grill, but nothing like fresh biscuits. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. Now, I think when it says every meat offering for the priest, it really means every meat offering by the priest. In other words, every meat offering that the priest himself offers to the Lord. Because as we saw earlier, the priests were allowed to eat part of other people's so-called meat offerings. Specifically, I think it's talking about this perpetual meatless meat offering that they offered up half in the morning and half at night. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken, and if it be sodden in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. Now, that makes it sound like they might have had female priests, didn't it? But I don't think that's what it means. I think what it really means is that the priests and their sons could, eat thereof, but not the priests' wives and daughters. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Now we're up to chapter 7. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall be taken away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. So the priest and his sons. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them, The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. So if the burnt offering was a lamb or a sheep, the priest got sheepskin. And if it was a bullock, the priest got cowhide. You know, more priestly compensation. And all the meat offering that is bacon in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest's that offereth it. Because the Yahwehans don't want it, and, you know, because despite being called a meat offering, it doesn't really contain any meat. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So they're like pancakes or fritters or something like that. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. Now remember, the heave offering is the one where they, you know, just heave it up toward the sky, kind of a symbolic offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning, for health reasons. You know, because the Yahwehans hadn't yet shared the secrets of refrigeration with the humans. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. I don't know, maybe because the kind of food that was being offered in this offering tended to last a little longer than the other. I don't know, just basically extending it a day. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And his iniquity just might be food poisoning. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul shall not touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord. Even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Yeah, because you don't want them infecting the rest of the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn by beasts, may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. Because, you know, you don't know what killed it, and if you eat it, the same thing might kill you. Or if it was torn by beasts, you know, they may have infected it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. We've talked about this before. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. Wave offering is kind of like a heave offering, except they wave it instead of heaving it. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Well, that's the end of chapter 7, and we're out of time. And I guess we'll pick it up starting at the beginning of chapter 8 next time. Until then, keep the faith. Try not to sin too much, so that you don't have to kill too many animals. And if you have to do a cereal sacrifice, try to make it Cap'n Crunch or something. You know, one of those meatless meat offerings.